Good morning, everyone. My name is Father John Whitlock, and some of you may recognize me. I was the associate pastor over at Queens and Our Lady of Fatima a few years ago. I recently began a new assignment as the director of vocations for our diocese. And I have to tell you, in this role, I was very pleased to see what gospel the church gives us for this Sunday, specifically where we hear Jesus command us, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Now, I don't have to tell anyone here today that these have not been very easy days, in fact, years, for our church. It's not easy even to speak about vocations of the priesthood these days. So much so that some may even ask, well, why bother? Why do we even need priests anyway? It's a tough question. But thankfully, it's not one that I have to answer for my own cleverness or skill. The answer comes to us from the Lord himself, and we hear it today in our gospel. If people won't listen to him, they won't listen to me. But it's important for us to hear what he has to say, especially where he says, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few." So first, the harvest is abundant. I grew up on a farm. I come from a long line of farmers on both sides of my family. Now, sadly, we know that today farming is quite a rare occupation. Most people understand it's just too much work for too little income these days. And believe me, baling hay and pulling weeds and picking up rocks in 90-degree weather with 100% humidity, it's not a whole lot of fun. That's why most people don't want to do it. And yet, if you speak to most farmers, they'll tell you that they see their occupation as a sort of vocation. And that is, they see it as a way, a gift, where they feed the world. And even with all the blessings of technology, we would not make it very long as a human race without farmers. So what does this have to do then with the gospel? Well, in the church, as in our lives in general, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers, the farmers, are few. That is, I think all of us here today, we want to see the church thrive, right? You wouldn't be here if you didn't. But the question comes back to us, how many of us are willing to roll up our sleeves and make sure that that happens or try to help it? No one wants to see their parish close. And yet, how many of us care more about the kingdom of God than the kingdom of our lives that we think that we've created for ourselves, when in fact everything is a gift from God? How many of us have encouraged a young person to consider a vocation to priesthood or to consecrated life? How many of us listen to God each day in prayer? Most of us here have already made our vocational choice in life, but that doesn't mean God doesn't have a plan for us. He has a plan for each and every one of you who are here today. But we need to listen, to see how is he asking me to be a laborer in his field? That's what we mean when we speak of our call to be missionary disciples. When I was discerning my vocation, one question that I asked myself was very helpful, and it was this: what's the most important thing in life to me? What matters the most? And as I began to contemplate that, to pray with it, I realized that a world without the Mass, a world without the Eucharist, is not the kind of world that I would want to live in. Just think about it for a moment. Every time we gather for Mass, heaven and earth collide, so to speak. God gives us the fruits of the earth, bread and wine. We offer it back to him, and he changes it into the body and blood of his beloved Son, Jesus. It's our nourishment. It sustains us with grace. But even more than that, it makes a way for us to be forgiven of our sins together with the sacrament of penance and baptism. And that brings us back into communion with him and communion with each other. We try so hard for world peace these days. It's never going to happen unless we're in right relationship with God. And the Eucharist is the way that we come to do that, to approach that. What a gift the Mass is. Do we take it for granted? You know, I've been blessed in my life in so many ways. I've been able to travel. Before seminary, I had a good paying job. I have a wonderful family and friends. But you know, in the end, none of those things matter if this life is all that there is, because it's all going to come to an end. Think how hopeless it would be without our belief, our faith in eternal life. But because we have that hope, everything matters. All of this matters. It matters for eternity. And that means we can actually enjoy the good gifts God has given us. It means we can actually have peace in this life. What do we have to fear? Our home is in heaven. And the Eucharist, then, is not only our nourishment for this life, but it's a pledge of the future glory that awaits us in eternal life. And so all this is to say, then, once I began to slowly realize what a gift the Mass is, I also realized I can't take this for granted. I can't just assume there will always be somebody there to offer the Eucharist. And I began to contemplate, to discern if perhaps the Lord was asking me to be that somebody. Not because I earned it, not because I'm perfect or special, but only because he asked me to do it. Again, duty can't be the sole reason for discerning your vocation. But as a wise nun once said, when duty and love are one, then grace is in you, and you will know a peace that surpasses all understanding, quoting from our Savior. And so we need priests because we need hope. And we don't have hope if we don't have the Eucharist and the sacraments. That's how Jesus set it up. We're not the masters of it. He is. And we have to be obedient to that. And that's why he reminds us in our gospel today, ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So all of us can and all of us must pray for holy vocations. Priesthood, certainly, but also religious life for holy families and for those who it seems the Lord is asking them to live a single life, a celibate life dedicated to him. You may have heard this year that our diocese had zero ordinations to the priesthood. When I was in Jackson, I would offer anointing of the sick to those who were very sick roughly 120 times a year. It was a real grace. That's very often what the associate pastor does. The pastor has many things to do. But now, as we know in Jackson, there's not a single associate priest. We have pastors, but that's all. They're spread very thin, and the time could come when you make a phone call and expect a priest to answer, and there's simply no one there. So I'm not telling you this because I want you to feel guilty. Far from it. But rather, I want all of us to realize the urgency that is part of our gospel calling today, even in our own community here. I was here in Jackson for 3 years, and I came to love the Catholic people of this city. And so I want, with all of my heart, to make sure that all of you always have faithful shepherds and workers in the harvest of the Lord. Now, sadly, as we know, there have been some who have been unfaithful, and we're working very hard to make sure that doesn't happen again. But I can't do this on my own. It takes all of us, not just vocation director, not just the priests, but all of us. Because vocations come from parishes where the faith is real and the faith is alive, especially faith in the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. It's not just a symbol. He's truly present with us in the Eucharist. They come from families who strive to put the faith above all else, above other gods, especially the god of sports these days, and where parishioners are committed to prayer, to being missionary disciples who beg the Lord for workers for his harvest and do their part to be one of his workers as well. Not perfect parishes, certainly, but those who desire above all else to spend their lives for the kingdom of God and the salvation of souls.